Welcome to Football Friday on Hawk, Crowder, and Solana.
In my short time here, I can sense burning desire to win.
I am truly humbled to stand here and be the head coach of the Miami Dolphins. And I take a lot of pride and responsibility in that.
I'm blessed to be here. I'm grateful for you guys and ready to get this thing going. Fins up.
Let's get to today's starting lineup.
Mark Hockman, University of Miami. Pico de Gallo is overrated.
Shannon Crowder, University of Florida. I have CTE.
Alejandro Solana, waitlisted at UCF. I watch a lot of SportsCenter.
Jimmy Garcia, St. Thomas University. I love Lamb.
Football Friday begins now. Let's ball, brother.
Let's ball, brother. I forgot we had that big open.
I love that open.
I feel like it needs to be refreshed a little bit with Jimmy the Bedbug, because
every week, Hawk, every week.
I mean, well, that's from last year, though.
We punted on that at around week four of last week. But I want to make it a Football Friday tradition.
All right.
I want to make it a Football Friday tradition.
So, like, new, we introduce ourselves in a different way each time.
Every week, and we'll change out. You know, we got a little Sully, Halfley, and Malik Willis. I'm expecting by week two, maybe a little Tutu Atwell highlight here or there. I mean, we'll get weird. We'll get weird with it.
Hey, by week two, you might be expecting a Jonnu Smith highlight.
Jonnu Smith, yeah.
You see what I just texted you guys? According to Josh Moser at WSVN, Jonnu Smith is interested in a return to the Miami Dolphins.
I would love that.
That was his best season ever, right?
Yeah, Jonnu can play. He's a big ass slot receiver, but he can play.
Best Dolphins tight end since Randy McMichael.
Well,
that's a long time.
One season. Did he play more than one season?
Yeah, he was here for a couple years.
Was he?
Two maybe.
Jonnu played catch with Lil Chan at Michael Vick's house. I'm just name dropping now, but I like Jonnu.
He had the best season a tight end has had. Well, Darren Waller had, I mean, for the games that he played last season.
Oh, yeah. Darren Waller played three games.
But the games that he played were pretty damn good, no?
One season, by the way, because remember, Miami trades him to Pittsburgh,
right?
Along with Minka Fitzpatrick and all that. So it was one season.
He can't Pro be Bowler. The best. He cannot be the best tight end since Randy McMichael.
Pro Bowl. He went to the Pro Bowl.
One Pro season? Bowler. You're telling me we haven't had a better tight end since Randy McMichael than Jonnu Smith for the one
we
season?
We haven't had a Pro Bowl tight end since Randy McMichael.
Are you sure?
No, I'm 100% sure. Who?
I don't know. I got to go back and look at the tight ends.
Randy Mike Gesicki?
When's the last time Randy McMichael suited up for the Dolphins?
2006.
Randy Michael's 360 pounds right now. It's been a long time.
You're telling me we haven't had a Pro Bowl tight end in 20 years?
Unless Anthony Fasano snuck in a Pro Bowl season the Wildcat year. Hawk, I don't think so. Charles Clay, like... Mike Gesicki had promise until Mike McDaniel came here and very clearly just hated him.
We have not had a great tight end room for a long time.
This is not how I expected to start the show, but in all honesty, Mike Gesicki, if you were ranking Dolphins tight ends for the last 20 years.
Post-Mac.
I think Gesicki has to be number one.
No.
For longevity, at least. He did the giddy. The what is it called?
The giddy. Yeah. He's a big Bulls fan.
The gritty.
I like the giddy.
He did the Josh Giddy. Oh, I'm coming out with the Josh Giddy. Remember, he did the gritty. That went viral.
You're building a team. You need John. You have to go Jonnu Smith or Gesicki. You're going Jonnu Smith.
No, that's not the question, though. The question is, who has been the best Dolphins tight end in the last 20 years? And I would say that longevity has to play into it. You can't announce Jonnu Smith as the best tight end in the last 20 years when he played one season.
As a Pro Bowl season.
Would you take Gesicki over Darren Waller?
Yes.
Looking. Dulcich. What about Dulcich?
Man, get out of here.
I'm not joking.
Dulcich over Jonnu Smith.
What a dearth of tight ends over the last 20 years. Holy mackerel.
You taught me the word dearth, and it hits on the tight end position in Miami.
Welcome to game day, everybody. Are you ready for some preseason football?
I am. I can't wait. I want to see Malik Willis. And I know it. I know it's a pruned down game plan. I know exactly what game one is, but I need to see Malik Willis play football tonight.
Yes, I'd like to see him play more rather than less. I don't imagine he's going to play more than two series, but whatever. I'll take what I can get tonight. Yeah. We'll talk about it. We have a loaded potato. We're only on for 3 hours today because Game Day Uncensored will begin at 5 o'clock with Brendan Tobin, Alejandro Solana, Chris Perkins, Omar Kelly, cast of thousands. I do want, before we get to headlines, then Chris Whittingham is going to join us this hour. I do want to celebrate something with you guys. Do you have anything that's celebratory? Maybe some cotton candy or something? This is dope. This dope has store-bought Dr. Pepper-flavored cotton candy.
Crazy, man.
That Do y'all is. Not understand what cotton candy is? I just reinvigorated my love for cotton candy today.
I've never liked cotton candy. I think cotton candy is stupid. Huh? But for a grown adult to have stopped at a gas station, and I'm guessing one in the afternoon,
yep,
and bought himself a pack of cotton candy, the only time cotton candy is acceptable is if you see them spin it onto the paper cone. Cotton candy, even when they sell it at a stadium in a plastic bag and it's not fresh, no good, no good. The only time to get cotton candy is spun fresh on a paper cone. And even then, I think it's stupid. Bro, you're in a convenience store and you're buying packs of cotton candy?
Well, let me lay it out for you, Hawk. I go, me and Little Chan, because, you know, he plays baseball. So I'm his AB pitcher, DH pitcher, whatever it's called. So I throw him the high heat all the time. We leave, and I go to the convenience store to get him a Gatorade Light, a Gator Light Zero. And I look at the cotton candy, Dr. Pepper cotton candy, and it's 2-for-1. If you give me a buy one, get one free, I would buy mermaid's butt. I think that buy one, get one free is something special.
Right. They don't generally do the buy one, get one free with great selling items at the gas station. Like Publix, they'll give you great items because, you know, that's where shopping is a pleasure. Gas station, it's pretty much, hey, how do we get rid of this crap? All right, make it 2-for-1. Cotton candy? You're in your 40s. Cotton
candy? So I buy Dr. Pepper cotton candy, buy one, get one free, and I'm telling you, it's delicious. And when it melts, it becomes like these little sugar crystals, and then you can just rub them on the top of your mouth. It's delicious. I disagree with you. Cotton candy is delicious. It's reinvigorated my cotton candy love.
Man, just awful. I got to tell you, Solana and I are two pictures of health on this show because I know for lunch today, I had texted you guys, I had a blue banana smoothie at Pure Life with extra protein. Solana, what'd you have for lunch?
Just a little whey protein right now. I'm having lunch as we do the show.
And Jimmy, I'm guessing a glizzy at Costco.
You know it.
Y'all are pictures of health?
Yeah, we are pictures of health. The left side of the screen, the way that I'm looking at it, Solana and I are pictures of health. You and Jimmy had, collectively, cotton candy
mm-hmm.
and hot dogs for lunch.
I don't know if y'all, if I really see health in y'all.
Yeah, well, I definitely don't see it in you two. Anyway, I want to celebrate with you guys something really important, I think. Bradley Beal is staying with the Clippers. I mean, have we ever received better news than Bradley Beal, the whole nonsense, the whole scuttlebutt of Bradley Beal once again coming to the Heat? How many years is this? How many years has everyone got excited about Bradley bleeping Beal coming to the Miami Heat? He never comes here. They don't want him. They feel the same way about him that they do about Goran Dragic. They're not interested, no matter how many feelers you put out there. So have a little piece of celebratory cotton candy if you'd like, because Bradley Beal remains with the Clippers.
Till next offseason. Come on, Brad.
We have another.
Who we got now? Clay. Today. We got Clay and who?
It's got for. I mean, Clay DeMar. Or DeMar, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want Clay DeMar.
For me. I Clay for me though.
The Hawk, I want DeMar.
I like watching DeMar DeRozan play for the Heat specifically. Clay Thompson. I want to see him spot up the way he did in Golden State in his prime. Stand there, wait for the ball, and knock down 18 threes in a game.
He's not hitting 18.
Well, Crowder might be right, Hawk, because, you know, I was high on Klay Thompson. Like, I wanted him over Beal, over DeMar, over LeBron, honestly. Nobody wanted that guy. But there's a video of Klay Thompson playing a streamer. His name is Plaqueboy Max. And this guy, Plaqueboy Max, streamer, playing one-on-one against Klay Thompson, put Klay in a blender. I'm talking spot-up Jays over the top of him, crossover dribble right by him.
Stop it.
And then he put the ball between his legs and laid it up right behind
him. You think Klay is giving you his best out on a playground with a streamer?
Maybe not, but don't you have some sort of standard as an NBA player every time you step out onto the floor, especially when that one-on-one game is being broadcasted to potentially millions of people?
No.
I don't get streaming. I understand it, but I don't get why people watch some little goofball talk all day for 4 hours.
Well, that's a totally different topic. And it's like you can say you don't understand it. That's how young people watch television. That's content. They don't they don't watch Barney Miller. They don't watch Murder, She Wrote. They don't watch Golden Girls. They watch.
Have you ever heard the phrase, an idiot is born every minute?
Well, then the world is full of idiots, because there's more people streaming bingo. Shows. Than bingo.
Bingo. Bingo. Bingo. Bingo. You hit it on the head, Hawk.
I'll still take Klay Thompson, no matter what happened with the streamer. Anyway, we have another pair of tickets today for Rob Zombie and Marilyn Manson. It's our final pair for the week. They're coming to I Think Financial Amphitheater in West Palm Beach, August 20th. We will give away the tickets at 4:40. So it'll be very close to when we're closing today's show. 4:40 this afternoon, we will give away the Rob Zombie and Marilyn Manson tickets. Quick look at the headlines here before Chris Whittingham joins us. Headlines brought to you by Doral Volkswagen, home of the Pricito, our lowest price. Visit them at Doral Volkswagen or DoralVolkswagen.com.
Gentlemen, we have a Miami Dolphins football game tonight.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah, buddy.
I like it.
The Sully and Halfley era underway today in just a couple of hours, in about 5 hours, which has me excited. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I don't expect to learn too much today about this team, and I don't think this season's going to go great, but I'm excited for a new era of Miami Dolphins football.
Me too.
Yep. I want them to back up what they've been preaching. That's what I want to see. I want to see physicality. I want to see the run game. I'm expecting to see the Green Bay Packers with less talent is what I'm expecting to see.
Someone puts on the text line, Darren Waller, 6 TDs in 9 games. Janu, 8 TDs in 18 games. I'll take Darren Waller's output per capita over Janu any day of the week.
Please give me Janu back. And he throws great birthday parties for his son.
Plus, FIU legend. I mean, what more could you ask for? Honestly, what more could you ask for than bringing home an FIU legend?
Oh, I saw somebody just put on the chat, too. Bane, please don't get three sacks tonight. Does Tampa play tonight?
Yes, Tampa does play tonight.
So I'm super interested in tonight. Tua's playing for Atlanta. Ruben Bane will get some run tonight?
I would imagine he will. The Bucks play. Ooh, maybe they play tomorrow. Let me double check.
I have my Bane jersey. I'm holding on to it till the regular season starts.
It is today. It is today at 7 p.m. They're in New York to face the New York Jets. There's a whole highlight reel that the Buccaneers posted in, and I know the Miami Hurricanes Instagram account's how I saw it. They reposted.
They're leaning in. The Bucks are leaning into Ruben Bane, man.
Yep.
His style of play, he's going to be a problem for offensive linemen in the NFL. He really is.
I feel like it.
So Dolphins Commanders at 7, Broncos Falcons in Atlanta with Tua playing at 7, Bucks Jets 7 o'clock in New York. Those are the only three preseason games tonight. So you can kind of flip around if you're interested in Tua, Ruben Bane, and obviously Malik Willis. I read in the Miami Herald, Omar Kelly said he'd be shocked if Malik Willis played more than two offensive series today. And that obviously would not be a full half or a full quarter, as some of us questioned if he would play that much.
Yeah, first quarter, first half, first game one, first quarter, game two, first half, game three. Now that's the coach's decision.
How will I flip around to see all these games? Because it's not like it's Sunday ticket. Like, how do I get the Jets Bucks game?
I don't know.
Because like in Miami, right? The Dolphins game's on CBS4 tonight. Yeah. How exactly do I flip around to get all these other games I'm interested in watching?
Yeah, it's a fair point. I don't know, Hawk. You stumped me on that one. I don't know.
I got excited for a second. You're like, hey, flip around. I was like, okay, I'll flip around. Then I thought to myself, well, what exactly am I flipping to?
I have two motor controls in my living room.
Two what?
Motor controls.
A two what?
Motor controls. Motor controls.
A two what?
Huh? A two what? I got two motor controls in my living room. I have to go from, like, I have to push satellite. I got two motor controls. Satellite. Motor controls.
Moat controls.
What do you call them?
Well, not moat control. Unless you have a moat around your house? Because I know Twan's got a koi pond. So do you have a moat?
Oh, we talked about nicknames. If I can cut off Reem.
Your remote control to moat control?
I got two moat controls, and I got to go back and forth with both of them.
It really is enough already with like the universal remote, but then you need the Apple TV remote, but then you need the soundbar remote. Like we got to figure this out as a society. We've got to figure this out.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm with you, Crowder.
Thank you so much, Solana, because he knows what I'm talking about. You got to go from Netflix to
you should have to
Apple to all this. And that's one remote. And then once you put satellite TV, that's when AT&T Uverse comes up. And then I have the other remote to control Uverse.
My guy, Scott Long, who installed your Starlink, have him do all your AV work, and you've got one remote control.
One remote control.
One remote control, yeah. Call Scott, I'm telling you. You say
he
to
can
him,
put it
hey,
all in one.
If you said to him, hey, I'm working my television with two remote controls, you will hear screeching down your street. He will be there before you hang up the phone.
Scott's a bad man. I ain't gonna lie to you.
Man.
He got me lined up.
And you know I make the good coffee when he and Dino are at my house.
I didn't give him anything when they came to my house.
Crazy.
I always take care of Dino, man. I make good coffee. They told me when you were over there that you treated them like they were the help. I don't.
They're hired.
Technically they are that. I consider it more like having house guests.
Oh, okay, because there was an invoice that came with that visit. I just
valid. That's bad.
The Marlins who play tonight, they're on the road. They'll play Jason Jackson's Cincinnati Reds tonight.
Sandy Alcantara tonight.
Yes, sir. Sandy gets the nod. That's a 6:10 p.m. game. You flip back and forth between that and Tua and the Broncos and the Buccaneers game and the Dolphins game, and you're all set. All good.
I hate that people are cheering against Tua. I hate that.
He had some bad moments last season, like at the podium. Like, I could see where Dolphins fans have kind of turned on him.
But why do you cheer against an athlete? Like, you want him to do bad? That's weird. And I've had a bunch of conversations about it.
I cheer against Bradley Beal for a decade now.
Tua's not going to do anything. I'm like, man, why would you want Tua not to do anything? He's a human. I have a heart. I'm a Christian.
I think we learned this week, maybe you're not.
Yeah. Inter Miami is on the road. They'll play Nashville in a big MLS game tomorrow. That's at 8:30 p.m. on Apple TV.
All right.
Your weather in South Florida right now, 93 degrees. Tonight, the lows are going to drop into the low 80s. That weather report is brought to you by Tornado Roofing and Contracting. Have a leaky roof? Take action now. Get your free estimate. Call 954-968-8155.
All right, Chris Whittingham is next.
This is Hawk, Crowder, and Solana.
Got a horse running at Saratoga? Give me anything. You got a lottery ticket? You got some numbers? What do you got? Chris Whittingham is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. He's a soccer broadcaster and analyst for Apple TV and CBS. Witty's going to be on the call Sunday for New York City and Philadelphia Union. Inter Miami and Nashville tomorrow, match of the week. Number one versus number two. Inter Miami just 2 points behind Nashville in the standings. You can watch that game on Apple TV tomorrow. And before we talk actual game stuff, Witty, there was this story, because we know Leo Messi's father had passed away. And then there was this story that started to spread on social media because of one of his Instagram posts where he talked about not knowing if he can continue to play that much longer. And Crowder and Solana and I had talked about it. You know, when a death happens in your family, Crowder and I have experienced losing a parent. Like, you make decisions sometimes, or it's hard to see things progressing after you lose someone. So I'm wondering what you make of what Leo Messi had to say.
Well, it's not just that his father passed away. It was that his father played this incredibly influential role in his soccer career. This was when he was young, when he was 11 or 12 years old, he goes over to Barcelona to join their academy. And basically his dad makes a decision to, I'm going to stay with Leo. My wife and our other kids are going to go back to Argentina, and I'm going to live here with Leo without my wife and my other children, because I believe so much in this kid and what he can do in soccer. So this idea that their lives are so intertwined and football is such a big part of it. I mean, he talks about in his Instagram post this notion of wanting to talk to him after games, but it was very clear that his dad really didn't know what was going on with Argentina at the World Cup, and he wanted his dad to be there at the final and take it all in one last time, because it really felt like it was going to be the last time, but he couldn't make it. He wasn't healthy enough to make the trip over to the United States. So, I mean, this is someone whose life in football was incredibly intertwined with his father's. And so, yeah, it is kind of remarkable that on the day, it was on the Wednesday morning when he puts out this statement and says, I don't know how much longer I'm going to go. Everyone that I know who went to the stadium that night goes, wait a second, he's on the bench? And then, wait a second, he came on and played for 35 minutes despite going to and from Buenos Aires and got in the game anyway. So I don't know what it is in terms of the situation with the longer term, but it's very clear that his father made an incredible impact on his life. That said, though, I just don't know if he's ready to give this up, especially with him still being so good. I don't know if he's going to be someone who walks away until he feels like he's lost his best. He said that he's lost his physical best, but he's still amazing when he's in the game. So I don't know if that means that he's going to retire at the end of the season or retire anytime soon, but that's certainly how a lot of people took it. And then he went and played. So we're really completely unclear as to where he's at mentally.
How does Lionel Messi, like, hypothetically, because he was saying that, and McNean Hawk said, like, you're making these emotional decisions or these emotional texts and all that stuff, but how would his retirement affect international soccer, but more the MLS, because I think he's making the MLS right now?
Oh, I would say he's definitely the biggest attraction, and I don't think it's particularly close, and it would be incumbent upon the league to go find another really big attraction. But we've talked about this since day one, Crowder, when he signed, there's one of these guys. I guess there's two if you want to include Ronaldo. But I mean, in terms of people who can single-handedly drive interest, who single-handedly drive that narrative about the sport in this country, there are two people currently playing the game that could do that. One is Messi and the other is Ronaldo. And I just don't think there would be replacing him. It would be incumbent upon Miami to keep going, and they will. I don't think there's any doubt in my mind that Miami will take the field without some big star player from somewhere anytime in the near future. I don't think Miami going to pack up, all right, well, that was fun. We're going to go back to be a develop and sell team. No, they're going to keep going and keep going again in the transfer market to go and get
Erling
big players.
But yeah,
I mean, that would take a lot. It would take a lot to go get him. But yeah, I mean, they're going to keep pushing. But yeah, I mean, it would be seismic, especially when we just saw him play in the World Cup and play as well as he did. He was one of the top goal scorers of the tournament. He clearly has not lost enough of a step for it to materially impact who he is as a player. And yet it's possible he might go. Yeah, I mean, it would be a momentous occasion, especially when I think, were it not for this health issue, we'd be talking about, can he make the next Copa America? Could he even make the next World Cup, as crazy as that is to say? Because it's possible with how well he's playing.
Might have to wait about 15 years for Erling Haaland, Hawk.
I got nothing but time. It's dwindling, but I got nothing but time.
Hawk, I got 100. I got 100 on it.
I'd say you have something but time. Maybe not nothing but time. You have something but time.
I have something but time.
Witty, I'm looking at this game tomorrow, and it's fascinating because Inter Miami loses Busquets, they lose Jordi Alba, and I know they've made additions, but they're 2 points out of being in the lead for the Supporter Shield race. Is A, that important to them, do you think, this year? I guess it is because they're in striking distance. But B, Nashville has seemingly always had Inter Miami's number, and especially in regular season play, and they have the best defensive unit in the MLS. Like, how tough is it for Inter Miami to go out against the best home team in the MLS and to beat a team who has conceded less than anybody, and I think 11 of their last 12, they're unbeaten?
Yeah, it's incredible what they've done. I mean, when you compare, they come into the league at the same time as Miami. They start better than Miami in those first few seasons. Then Miami signs Messi, they go flying beyond them. But Nashville have rebuilt incredibly well. So in terms of your question, how important is this? I would say it's fairly significant, both in terms of you're defining the rivalry for the rest of this season, which I think in all likelihood, you're heading towards a collision course of these two teams playing again in the playoffs at some point. They already played in the CONCACAF Champions Cup, which we all know was an incredibly important competition for Miami. They lose without even having lost to a Liga MX team. They lose to another MLS team, which was not supposed to happen. And so, yeah, I think this is now becoming the rivalry that defines, at the very least, the Eastern Conference, and not the whole of Major League Soccer, because Nashville have Hani Mukhtar, who's been amazing since day one. They have Sam Surge, who's been the best goal scorer in the league outside of Messi over the last year and a half. And they added Christian Espinosa, a really good free agent player down the right side, who all of a sudden they formed a triumvirate of players that can genuinely compete with Miami. And there aren't too many teams that can do that. So yeah, I think this is going to be the rivalry that ends up defining this MLS season, even the CONCACAF competitions, because these are probably the two best teams in MLS over the course of the season.
Inter Miami, Nashville, match of the week tomorrow on Apple TV. And then Witty has the match, New York and Philadelphia Union. Did I see that at Yankee Stadium?
Yes.
Do they play all their games at Yankee Stadium?
They split between Yankee Stadium and Citi Field. They've been like, their whole thing is they play within the five boroughs of New York City. So they don't want to go outside to soccer stadiums in New Jersey. They are building their own stadium, which will be right next to Citi Field starting next summer.
The reason I ask is because Crowder had said, you know, if Messi retires one day, what does it mean to international soccer? But more importantly, what does it mean to MLS? Is the MLS killing it? I feel like every time I turn on a game on Apple TV, there's a ton of fans. I think the coverage is very good, obviously. I'm probably biased because you're part of it. But I really feel like they're killing it. And I wonder if that's the case.
I think the league is going in a very good direction. I think people want it to go faster. I think people want MLS to be on the level of the Premier League, if not now, within 5 years. That's such a difficult hurdle to climb. You have to get stadiums that are 60,000 seats. You have to drive revenue. I think the biggest challenge that MLS has in comparison to other soccer leagues in the world is the competition. You have such incredible competition for eyeballs and attention and media dollars in this country, the NFL taking the vast sum of it, that it's difficult for MLS to, realistically, the biggest thing that would propel them even further is media money. And it just isn't there. I mean, you know, the NFL makes $11 billion a year off television. The MLS or MLS is not there yet. So I think in person, 100%. With stadiums that are being built all over the country, I think 24 or 25 of the 30 teams in the league will have their own venue by the time Chicago finishes theirs in a couple of years' time. Infrastructure is honestly probably ahead of even the big European leagues in terms of new stadiums and new training grounds. And in terms of developing players, academies and all that stuff, MLS is absolutely taking big steps forward. But I think when you compare it to the absolute biggest leagues in the world, you're still waiting to take that next big step, and there's still some ways to go there.
All right, Chris Whittingham, he'll be on the call Sunday. Philadelphia Union and New York. You're going to get a slice of pizza while you're in New York?
Yeah, Sparrow. On the street? Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Sparrow's?
Yeah. Oh, that's the best New York pizza.
Man, listen, Ray's. Go to Ray's.
No. Ray's. Original Ray's.
Ray's. Man, okay. Ray's is so good. I'm a big industry guy. Have you guys heard of that?
We're talking about
unbelievable slice of pizza. It is genuinely the best slice of pizza that I've ever had in my life. Industry. There's two locations. Go and find them.
Sounds too clean. No. Ray's has like 55 locations on one block. That's where you got to go.
Yeah. No, but you don't want a place that has 55 locations.
Oh,
that implies sort of a chainness to it.
You think it's watered down their pizza?
Yeah.
And
pizza. I'm very close to New Haven style pizza, which obviously. Some people would argue is superior. I might even join them.
New Haven, that's Jersey.
No, it's Connecticut.
Connecticut, bro.
Oh, Connecticut pizza. That's never been a phrase.
It's actually one of the great things when you drive from New York into Connecticut. You cross the border and there's a sign that says, "Welcome to Connecticut, the pizza capital of the United States." It's elite trolling towards New Yorkers that are crossing the line.
A little cutesy towards Chicago, to be quite honest. Not even a border state. All right, Chris Whittingham will be on the call Sunday on Apple TV, Inter Miami and Nashville tomorrow on Apple TV. Your game Sunday, is that correct?
Sunday, yep.
Isn't that right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sunday on Apple TV, Inter Miami, Nashville tomorrow on Apple TV. Thank you, Whitty.
Cheers, guys.
There you go. I love a guy who gets off, says cheers. Cheers, guys. Sounds so international.
I don't know about the cheers.
Cheers. I like that. Nobody would call New Haven style pizza Connecticut pizza because that wouldn't go anywhere. But if you call it New Haven style, then it sounds like it's got some. The New Haven style is like the real burnt on the bottom. It's thin. It happens to be good pizza. I prefer Chicago pizza over all of them.
Well, burnt on the bottom.
Yeah, it's like charred on the bottom. You ever had Anthony's Cold Fired?
Yeah, yeah.
That's New Haven style.
I hate it.
Paul Castronovo and Dan Marino. I have some words for you.
Yeah. I go, man, my son and daughter love Anthony's Cold Fire Pizza.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get a salad.
That's
no olives.
New Haven style pizza. All right, we got to take a break. We got a lot to get to today. We're off at 5 o'clock for Game Day Uncensored.
This is Hawk, Crowder, and Solana.
You don't know Ski Mask, the slump god?
I do not.
I mean, it feels like a football Friday. And I know what I'm doing to myself here because Lori's out of town. And so I'm like fantasizing in my mind. And this is how you fantasize when you're 56 years old, sitting on the couch, eating a za, watching football. But I'm not going to be able to, well, am I not going to be able to watch beyond the first quarter? I don't know. I mean, when it starts to get to second, third, fourth string players, I'm going to plan on watching. Lori's out of town, going to plop down on the couch, but I'm guessing by 9 o'clock, I'm at OP Live.
It's tough to watch. I'm interested with the new coach and the philosophy and like what they plan on doing, but you really can't see the outcome of a season in the first preseason game.
No, you can get some glimpses of things that are important, right? How Malik Willis is running the offense, how Jeff Hafley looks getting play calls in, and is he calling the plays?
No, Slowick is, isn't it?
Yeah,
Hafley's the D guy.
Hafley's going to call the defensive plays, I believe, and Slowick is going to call the offense.
Yeah, I guess there's little things you can glean tonight.
I want to see the offensive approach, and I also want to see Malik Willis. How many snaps have y'all watched Malik Willis play?
Not a bunch.
I just, I've seen him hand the ball to Josh Jacobs a couple times in highlights. I haven't seen him be the starting quarterback. That's my biggest interest tonight.
I mean, we did see, remember there was that video going around after the Dolphins signed him of all his completions a season ago. And, you know, there weren't that many completions. He played a handful of games. So I feel like I've watched a decent amount of Malik Willis to know that he's not a bum. Like, this dude's not a scrub. He's a starting caliber quarterback, Crowder. But to your point, like, I would
say, you can't say that because he wasn't in Tennessee and he was the backup in Green Bay. He started only because of injury. Like, we're hoping he's a starting caliber quarterback. He looked like it in college.
And in that video, we talked about this. This is months ago when they signed him. That video wasn't him dropping dimes on back shoulder throws. It was him throwing checkdowns and crossing routes at 15 yards. Jimmy could do that. Bedbug could throw a crosser.
Did you see Fernando Mendoza throw a dime yesterday?
Yep. He did, and they amp it up so big. It was one throw over the linebacker's head. That was weird that they're trying to make this Mendoza Peyton Manning already.
Why are you so why are you such a hater with Fernando
Mendoza? Well, he's picked a side. So now he's all in on that side, man.
He's not an impressive quarterback.
Well, you can't say that after yesterday and after last season and after the season before that. You can say that you don't think he's going to be impressive in the NFL, which is what you said, but you can't say he's not an impressive quarterback. Guy's got a national championship.
Huck, I know. Now, you see, it's at the end you move the bar. He has to be an impressive quarterback because he has a national championship. Brad Johnson has a Super Bowl ring. Brad Johnson was terrible. Trent Dilfer has a Super Bowl ring.
No.
Trent Dilfer was terrible.
No, teams
can carry quarterbacks, and then quarterbacks can carry teams, Hawk. Fernando Mendoza did not carry that team through the college football playoffs.
You think Indiana was so talent-laden that they got through the season and a national championship, even though they had a terrible quarterback?
He's not terrible
in college. Impossible.
Hawk, he's not terrible. He's okay. But when you want to put him to the elk of a Brady and a Manning and
I'm
a Montana and a Marino,
I am ready to go there.
I cannot put him with a top level quarterback like I've seen in the past. I have not seen anything out of Fernando Mendoza to make me say that he's about to be Joe Montana. He threw for 188 in a
nice
semifinal game.
Night, though. He had a nice pass last night.
For 14. Great 14-yard completion.
Maybe go watch the fourth quarter of the national championship game and tell me he wasn't impressive because he made big play after big play after big play. Mm-hmm. And late in the game, they needed a score. After driving his team all the way down into the red zone with back shoulder fade after back shoulder fade after back shoulder fade, all of which were passes he threw perfectly, he puts somebody wearing a U on their helmet on their ass.
Which we're not happy about, by the way.
Right. I mean, but Hawk, that's why, like, going into that game, I remember trying to figure out at what point will this dude make a mistake? Every player of this caliber makes a mistake at some point. He never made a mistake. He played a perfect game. And he won that championship for them.
All right. 3 o'clock hour is coming up on this Football Friday. I'm talking about Dolphins, not Fernando Mendoza. 3 o'clock hour is coming up. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Hawk, Crowder, and Solana Show.
He's going to Greenbow, Alabama.